All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool. Man, we've got some good stuff coming up today on the show.
You got some lighthearted stuff, and then we're going to delve into some dark, deep stuff.
Yeah, so I'm going to show my package on the show today. No.
You really got to reword that.
So I got a couple packages in the mail.
Right. Yeah.
There you go. And I thought they did a great job. One is a client with the agency I'm working through right now. And then another is actually a past guest on the show.
Okay.
Who sent us something. So I wanted to show those.
Oh, yeah.
And what really good. So there's some lessons to be learned in those. Mm-hmm. As more and more stuff is, you know, being delivered in the mail. More people doing, you know, business online. So, and you know, one of them is is definitely an e-commerce type product, and the mm-hmm. other is someone who, well, we'll just have to see when we get there. But it's
you don't have to
have a product necessarily to do this, but you need something to give away. But the idea is that you're getting back in front of people in a very standout kind of way. So that's what we'll talk about that. And then we've got some, we're going to try some new technology here on the show today, right? We're actually pulling in a video clip that Jonathan, you and I have talked about and thought was kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
And maybe a little controversial. We're not afraid of that. A little dark maybe, but, should be good. So with that said, that's the tease. That's the open. Yep. So let's drink some beer.
Let's drink some beer. All right. So I went first today after our guest last one. So I'm going to let you go.
I'm going to go first. All right. Yep. So I've got another Texas specific kind of brand going with the summer theme, the summer lager type feel. So I've got the Texas Family Beer Company Golden Age Pilsner.
Ooh.
So this is basically water that I'll be drinking today, yellow water. And yeah, cause it's 4.6% alcohol, German style pills, crisp and lively, superbly balanced. Ooh. From the Family Business Beer Company, in Dripping Springs, Texas, which is about 5 miles down the road, 10 miles down the road, something like that. So that's what I'll be having today.
Beer that you have is somewhere in Texas.
There's a lot of breweries around here for sure. Yeah. So, it's pretty cool because you get all these, you know, unique beers. Problem is not many of our listeners can drink them, but unless they come visit or something.
That's right.
Not that you can visit anywhere right now, but if you could, Texas would be a good place. And plus, you don't want to come as we're recording this in July. You probably don't want to come be here either.
No.
So it's a, you know, just a almost translucent beer.
Wow.
So super light.
It looks pretty hoppy.
Yeah, it looks very, we'll see. What do you got on your side? I'm going back to dark beers next week.
Yeah, I've got a light one too. And in addition to that, I've got a pale ale today because I'll tell you, I waited till the last minute to get brews today. Yeah. I didn't have anything up until about 20 minutes till our show today. So I ran down to the little top side down the road. And picked up I love so far everything that I've had from Cigar City Brewing has been great. You know, they've got a great brown ale. Some of their dark ales have been really, really good. Nothing I've had. So I went ahead out on a limb and just picked up this. It's a Gaia Berry from Cigar City. But it is a pale ale.
And it's kind of got a fruity name, so.
Yeah. So I'm expecting this to be probably citrusy, you know, not going to be my thing. But just because I feel like I need to give Cigar City its due diligence and go through their whole selection, you know. Okay. So that's what I'm going to do.
And what city is Cigar City? Do we know?
It's down in Tampa, Florida.
All right. Well, yours looks better than mine.
Yeah.
Mine is
yours looks more like an IPA than mine.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a German Pils, so we'll see.
All right. Cheers.
All right, cheers. Yeah, we did the same thing at the same time.
We might have two losers on this one.
Yeah.
I have to take another sip on this.
So for me, I mean, it is what it is. It's a German Pils. I guess this is what they squeeze out of the hops when they finish making real beer. Yeah. Like this is like the leftover beer, I guess. I don't know.
So it's pretty hoppy.
It's actually just pretty
just bland. Bland. Okay.
I'm going to give that All right. I'm scoring mine a one. This is my worst.
Wow.
Like not from like a bad taste, from a lack of taste.
That's the worst.
Like there's just nothing. Like it's just kind of dirty water. That's about it. Wow.
Okay.
Well. So that's a real disappointment. I like the can.
Give their name out one more time since you basically ran them to the sewer.
Seriously, I'm gonna have to go hunt these people down. It's a family business beer company. They might want to find a new family business. I don't know. Together over beer. So I will definitely have to go. And this won an award, 2019 Great American Beer Festival silver medal winner. We'll see. It's a silver. It's not a gold. Everybody knows, like, if you don't win a gold, it's like, what they say? What would Ricky Bobby say?
If you ain't first, you're last.
That's right.
Need to cue that up. We need to have that as a soundbite.
So this is living proof that if you're not first, you're last, right here. Silver medal. It's awful. That must have been like a bad year for submissions or something. I don't know. Man, that's rough. Yeah, I just can't do it.
Well, that's okay. We try to be fair. We try fair not to steal from Fox News, but we try to be fair and balanced.
Yeah.
And we're going to call a spade a spade. If it's a bad beer.
It's a bad beer.
It's a bad beer. So.
I don't know. I guess if you're used to drinking Keystone or something, it'd be fine.
Yeah. But
just not my style for sure. Yeah. And I don't know how to rate, like, if it's, you know, I'm not so pure in my assessments that I can overcome, like, the type of beers that I like. So it's a little, you know.
Sure.
I am a little biased for sure.
Yeah.
So what's yours? Just your guava fruity melon beer thing.
Yeah. Well, it's very hoppy. So
okay.
I don't even know what the hoppiness or the IBUs are on this thing, but I tried to pull it up on the website, but couldn't find it. But if I were to guess, it'd be like 50 or something.
So what's the name of it again?
Gaia Berry. No, I'm sorry. Gaia Berra.
Gaia Berra. Okay. So totally that's a whole different thing. That's a whole different thing. I mean, at least with the berry, I had an idea where it was going, but now I don't know what to say.
So. All right, let me pull this up. Cause I got to give them at least their due diligence on this by explaining why it's so bad. Let's see. So it's okay. Here it is. It's
why it's so bad. Let me get the facts about why it's so bad.
All right. So this is so I just pulled it up off of Cigar City Brewing. Traditional throughout Latin America. So we at Cigar City feel the same reverence, appreciation for the Gaia berry that we do for a Citra hop varietal, an ingredient that imparts notes of tangerine, lime, and berries. See, that's the problem right there. Tangerine, lime, and berries into just this. Just
pick a fruit. It's not a fruit salad. Like if you want a tinge of fruit, that's one thing.
But. Yeah. So they didn't get hoppy. They didn't get sour enough with lime. They had to add tangerine and also throw some berries in there. So
just whatever you got laying around, throw it in, guys. This is one of those like 20% projects. You know, they do at Google where it's like you, in your free time you can just play around. Those don't always turn out well.
So I nailed it. IBUs 50. What did I say? 50. Man. I said it's a 50.
There you go. Well, you have the palate, man. This show has helped you really develop your palate.
That's
when we started this show, we didn't even know what IBUs were.
No, we were just clueless. And now we feel like we've developed another skill stack.
Oh, absolutely.
Beer tasters.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You should just like start taking a cooler into your meetings, your sales meetings. Probably close more business like that.
Probably. Not with this one.
Yeah, take some of the better ones for sure. All right. So let's talk about some. Oh, did you give it an actual score? You didn't give it an actual score.
Oh, I didn't. Okay. I'm going to be fair and I'm going to give it a, because I know that a lot of these IPAers would probably give it a high rating. So I'm going to take that into consideration, given the fact that I have an obvious bias against IPAs. And so I'm going to counteract my bias and say, I'm going to give it a fair score because I know a lot of people would like this because they just like this hoppy stuff, but I'm going to give it a 2. All right. I'm going to just an even 2. You know, I feel like that's a fair for a guy that doesn't like IPAs. That's a fair score for me. So,
okay. Fair enough. There it is.
Plus, I like Cigar City and I don't want to give them, you know, I don't want to run them under the bus too much. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, a podcast with our level of influence,
that's right,
could easily just close the doors there. So
that's right.
We have to be careful about how we rate these things.
A lot of craft brew enthusiasts count on us.
Oh, absolutely.
To give them honest appraisal on the beer that they drink. So
yeah,
that's what we got.
A lot of craft breweries count on us to not put them out of business by giving them a bad score.
One bad review and we completely have.
Yeah. It's like the opposite of the Tim Ferriss effect, right? We instead of putting people on the map, we put them out of business with a bad score.
That's right.
Oh, if only that would be cool. We had that kind of power and influence, but we don't. All right. So I was going to the mailbox the other day. And by the way, those listening, we have a Facebook group now called Persuasion by the Pint. We live stream in there on Fridays, so you can actually see the video of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You can see Jonathan, whether or not he just came from a workout or whether he had a little bit of time to cool off. You can tell the difference. So I went to the old mailbox earlier this week and check out this. What was in the mail?
Ooh, Jonathan. Fancy.
Is that like, I mean, it looks like, so it's a very shiny yellow. Attention. It looks like honeycomb almost. Like it looks like something Pooh Bear would just absolutely love to get in his mailbox. But then he would be very quickly disappointed that it's not honey.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the mailers, you know, I've talked about in the past that from the Dental Profits.
Ed.
Yeah. Ed O'Keefe. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the mailers he used to use. So
yeah, these, I think you can get these at like Uline Shipping or somewhere like that. I know they carry stuff. I'm sure there's other places, but like, I know the Uline has a whole catalog of these kinds of things.
Right.
So anyway, so nice, you know, it's a 6x9 or 8, somewhere in that range package. And I'm like, oh, who's that from? And I see it's from, actually says on the label, from Mike Capuzzi, who has been on the show before.
Yep.
So hello, Mike, if you're listening. All right. So I open this up and inside is a book. So for those listeners who have not heard his episode, he talked about The Shook, which is the short book. Right. So the name of this, so first of all, it said advanced review copy and a little sticky note on top. And I was like, ooh, I'm special. I get an advanced review copy. So it immediately made me feel special. I'm sure he did this for everybody he sent this to, but it made me
hold that up one more time. I just want you to see the title.
Which one?
The actual book.
You've shown me. So the book. Yeah. So the book is, the 100 page book.
Right.
And it's by Profitable Nonfiction Book Writing Tips by Mike Capuzzi. The prehead is The Business Owner's Guide to Self-Publishing, a Short Customer Attraction Book, also known as a Shook, according to Mike. So
bite-sized books, kind of like Shooks are kind of like the mini books that we've talked about. So
yep, but not as small. They're shorter, but they're not quite as small as those.
Right.
So I think they're kind of a different category depending on what you're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So the book was in there. And then here's the cool part that I wanted to share with everybody. He also sent a letter along with it, right? So he said, Sean, I hope this letter finds you and your business doing well. I have enclosed an advanced review copy of my latest short helpful book, Shook. The 100-page book, which I wrote to use on Amazon for lead generation, and I think you will enjoy. For the past several weeks, I've immersed myself in book promotion tactics and strategies to leverage Amazon effectively. My goal is to promote this book on Amazon as a pre-order during the week of July 20th, 2020, right? So he sent this out on July 7th is what it's dated.
Yeah.
And so that gives me about, you know, 13, almost 2 weeks, you know, to take action. Mm-hmm. Related to this effort, I was hoping you could help me with three really simple things. So a couple things that are already going on in this letter. One, he sent me a free book, right? So we got reciprocity going on.
Right.
Makes me feel special because I'm kind of on the advanced copy list, right? So I feel kind of special. Then he says in the first paragraph, he's been deeply, you know, he's looking at strategy and promotion tactics and all that kind of stuff. So that's going to catch my attention because I'm interested in the same thing.
Sure.
So now I'm like, oh, let me read this to figure out what his tactics are, because maybe I could use them too for my next book. So he says, related to this effort, I was hoping you could help me with three really simple things. So I like that he called them simple and he lists out three quick things, right? Number one, buy a pre-order copy for as little as 99 cents on Amazon.com. This will also entitle you to a few special bonuses I'm creating. Mm-hmm. So even though it's going to cost me money, he's offered me some bonuses. So that feels good. Leave a review about the Shook on Amazon a day or two later and snap a photo of you reading, holding, enjoying the 100-page book. You can mail it to me, email it to me directly at, and then he puts his email. He says, I will let you know when the Amazon pre-order is available. In return for helping me out, you will receive an invitation to join me for a private launch partner only training in August, where I'll be sharing all my Amazon tactics, strategies, and results. If you currently are planning to have books on Amazon, this will be super valuable to you. I appreciate you and your help very much. Regards, Mike Capuzzi.
Hmm.
So pretty cool. Like, you know, he's asking for a favor, but he's giving a lot of value in return.
Absolutely.
For the favor.
We talked about that, you know, from that, exactly what to say, but we were talking about that a couple of episodes back of like, hey, can you do me a really quick favor? You know, most people are, and especially when you use the art of reciprocation, you know, when you give something to somebody up front and then say, hey, can you do me a quick favor? Like brief, quick favor. That's big, you know, because if you're, you know, you're encouraging somebody, most people want to help others. So in that case, it was, there's so much value tied to that. So.
Yeah. And he put it, you know, quick favor. He did it as simple. Like, here's three simple things.
Right.
Three really simple things. Yeah. Right. So, and they are pretty simple, right? I mean, they're, you know, especially for guys like us who he knows, you know, I'm sure he sent this out to quite a few people, but, you know, it's nice to give people just a clear step-by-step what you need to do, to help you and make it easy for them, and then give them a reward for doing it. So he's taking all those things into consideration. Mm-hmm. All right. So another thing that I got this week, this is a client we're working with, over at ROI Machines. And, so they are a supplement company and they do, pharmacy curated supplements. So they have pharmacists. They started as a pharmacy. Now they're also doing supplements, but they actually curate vitamins. Their pharmacists like prepackaged vitamins in a certain way. That's really cool. So I wanted to share that. And I wanted to share their branding because I thought their branding was really good. And just the overall experience. Like usually when you get a supplement, like you just get a bottle in the mail and it's, you know, it's not all that exciting. Right. You know, there's a few that have been pretty good that I've gotten over time. Sure. You know, in fairness, like on it, their Total Human package is really cool and nice package. But this one is, so it comes in a, you know, a fairly ordinary brown box, but it's not like a regular shipping box. It's actually, you can tell it's a crafted box. It's got their label on the top that says, hello to your mix.
Okay.
Because their thing is they custom mix your vitamins for you based on what you need. Right. And so you open it up. And inside you got this little,
that's nice pretty good packaging. I like that.
Yeah. So it's a nice little insert that's holding the actual vitamins. So the vitamins are in a separate box. Mm-hmm. You pull those out and they actually roll out into these little serving packets that tell you morning, noon, and night, or morning and evening and night what to take, right? That's so each one's like its own little sachet.
Right.
And what's really cool is that it actually says, let's see if I can get that. So it's actually got your name on it. It says, good morning, Sean.
Talk about custom.
And it says, good evening, Sean. And it tells you which of your pills you're taking. And like I said, they start in the pharmacy business. And this is a little bit more standard, but most. So you just throw this in your cabinet and you just peel them off, you know, throughout the day as you need them.
And so wait,
they have different packages.
So you pull out the mornings first, obviously, then your evening, and then the morning follows. So that, I mean, that's a really cool idea. You know, one following right after the other. So, you know, exactly. It's not like you're trying to remind yourself or you forget because you've always got the next one pulled out.
Yeah. So if you see the first one says good morning, the second one says good evening. And there's actually in this pack, cause this is like a heart health pack. It actually has a good night. So there's like one that you take like right before bed. So in this particular package, there's actually three that you take. And they just tear right off and all that. So between the packaging kind of making you feel special and all those things. And, you know, I thought it was a really cool experience to get your vitamins as opposed to just opening a pack and it's another bottle in the cabinet.
Yeah. Plus the, you know, using your name, which is one of the most powerful words in the English language is your own name, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to influence and they're using your name on the packaging.
Yep. Yeah. So it feels very custom. I mean, it is custom, but it reminds you that it's custom every time you take the package. Yep. You know, so, their stick rate is higher than the industry average because of little things like that, you know?
Well, yeah. And I could see why, because I mean, it's customized to me. You know, I feel like it, regardless of whether it is, I mean, they could be, who knows? I mean, for all I know, they're sending out the same thing to everybody else. But because my name is on that, it feels special. It feels like it's tailored to me.
Yeah. So. Well, I'll do a follow up on this because once we're working on some stuff that will go live in the next week or two.
Yeah.
And once that's live, I'll have a little bit more ability to talk about what they're doing and how they're making them custom.
Right.
But I can't do that right now. So just stay tuned for future episodes where we'll go even deeper into that. But the company is called, 10 mix or 10 vitamins, TIN, 10vitamin.com, TINvitamin.com.
Okay.
So great people. Like I said, they're actual pharmacists. And they actually started the vitamins because they found out a lot of their pharmacy customers were not getting the right, just regular supplements in their diets. So they started doing vitamins as well. And now they're doing vitamins as a standalone as well. So,
right.
Pretty cool evolution of the business. Right. They're based out of California and really cool company. So we'll talk more about them in future episodes. So that was kind of the two things I got this week that I thought were just really neat and thought I'd share with people. You've got something that I forwarded to you actually, early this week. And you were like, wow.
Yeah.
And it was a video that was kind of going around the interwebs with all the controversy that's going on and things like that. But I thought it was a really good analysis of, and let's be honest, it's, you know, it's probably biased in one way or the other. But the fact is, like, the guy makes some really good points. And whether you agree with the overall opinion of this guy or not, you have to stop and think about what he's saying a little bit.
Yeah, you do. And here's what I would encourage listeners, like, get rid of all the, you know, because we're so primed. And I say, you know, we're primed politically in this day and age. Everything is so apolitical where you're one side or the other. This is not about politics. It's about persuasion and influence. So I would say that, you know, we've talked about system one and system two thinking. Mm-hmm. You have got to get past your system one thinking with it, which is that surface level thinking, and try to engage in this video that we're about to play from a kind of a system two, where you start really thinking about it and not really having a reaction to it. I don't want you to have a reaction to it. I don't want you to really think about it and think about how this is being used. And listen, it's being used on both sides. But
absolutely,
what you're going to hear today is being used a lot in terms of what's going on around us with this pandemic and how we're primed to think. So I want you to think and not react. I want you to really delve into it. And you can do a lot of your own research on the side. But the biggest thing is to understand that governments, this is persuasion and hypnosis, and hypnotherapy is not just used in the medical profession. It's not just used in business. It's used by the government as well. I mean, they hire guys like Cialdini, you know, that we've talked about many times, and they hire people like that to in politics all the time. So they're not, they're not clueless about how this stuff works, and they're using it all the time against us.
Yeah, a lot of the groundbreaking research and all this stuff comes out of military projects and all the where they're trying to learn psychological warfare and everything else, to get the advantage, to both save lives and win wars without as much actual combat. Right. I mean, that was the idea behind, by the way, did you ever see the documentary about the Ghost Army? Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's fascinating. We'll have to talk about that on another episode, but yeah.
Sounds fascinating.
You could probably look it up, but there's a literal division of the U.S. Army back in World War II, I think, that they called the Ghost Army, or at least that's what the documentary is called. It's just all about psychological warfare. And it kind of, it was really cool because, it was both to win the war, but it was also to save a lot of lives.
Sure.
By using psychological tactics instead of just brute force tactics. Right. And this video is kind of the same way. Some of the stuff this guy's pointing out, it's to control crowds psychologically so that they don't have to do it with brute force.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's too obvious if you do it with brute force. So you want to try to figure out how to do it psychologically and use the power of the crowd to your advantage and a lot of other things. We'll just roll that beautiful bean footage.
So the video is kind of like, it's nothing spectacular to watch. So what I'm just going to do is play the audio because I've got it queued up here.
Yeah, it's literally an old guy sitting in a chair, and he's reading his notes. You're not missing anything by missing the video.
That's right. So the words are more, persuading than anything. But all right, here I've got it queued up, so I'm going to play the first 45 seconds to a minute of it. Okay. And because those are really important, we're gonna play this up and then kind of discuss it, because he talks about, and when you're listening to it, think about the framing effect that's going into what you hear over the last 3 or 4 months. So,
right.
Governments have been using a range of Orwellian mind control tricks during the coronavirus crisis. The slogans, the clapping, and the symbols have been carefully used to enable the authorities to take control of our thinking. I'm grateful to Dr. Colin Barron, a former NHS doctor and eminent hypnotherapist who's the author of the book Practical Hypnotherapy, for pointing out to me just how our minds have been taken over and how we've been very successfully and skillfully manipulated into believing the lies we've been fed. Elected governments, aided by specialist behavioral scientists, have been brainwashing millions into accepting the coronavirus propaganda. The mind is a wonderful thing. It responds in sometimes unpredictable ways. So, for example, if you see a headline which says Boris Johnson is an alien, then most people will probably dismiss it as quite silly nonsense. But if the headline says, "Is Boris Johnson an alien?" readers will be more likely to suspect that the British Prime Minister might indeed be from another planet. And research shows that if people see a headline which says Boris Johnson is not an alien, then their suspicions will be raised still higher.
I'm going to pause it there, because that's the headline is the most important part of the copy, because it gets you to move further. But asking a question like that generates, and we see it all the time in news sites today have become nothing more than clickbait. And you see this practice more than anything from a persuasive standpoint to get you to, dive further. And these articles and these links are shared on social media. You know, you look at Drudge and you look at a lot of other sites like that. They're asking a lot of questions that get you to dive further.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure there's, you know, of our audience, I'm sure there's some people that are already like had a reaction to this just with the words that he used setting sure. up his argument. Right. I mean, he's making his own argument. I mean, right. let's be honest, right. Yeah. He's, you know, he talked about, you know, brainwashing and propaganda. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely biased towards his side of the story.
Sure.
You know, like I actually think it could have been a much more powerful video if he had not used some of those words, because he was tipping yeah. his hand
when he said propaganda, when he said, when he used the word propaganda associated with the, or the, you know, related to the pandemic.
Right. So he's like this, the brainwashing around the pandemic, the propaganda around the pandemic, you know, so, but what's interesting is, you know, he knows a guy who's a practical hypnotherapist who wrote a book called Practical Hypnotherapy. Right. And he's, you know, they see some of the commonalities in what's going on. And this idea of, like you said, the headlines, you know, obviously this is in England, UK. So Boris Johnson, the prime minister, if you just come out and say something as fact, like it doesn't have a lot of weight. When you question, it's got a little more weight, but when you deny, it actually almost has the opposite effect.
Right. Cause people want to say, wait a minute. I just want to dig in.
Yeah. At least a good chunk of the audience is going to be like, always believes that the government is lying to you, right? It didn't used to be that way, but in the last, you know, 20, 30 years, I think it's definitely the tide has turned. Like our generation is very different than our parents' generation, mm-hmm. who grew up trusting and believing the government for the most part. That's obviously shifted a lot now. Yeah. So, you know, if people just flat out deny or the government flat out denies, then it perks up your curiosity. Yep. I remember when I was writing financial newsletters, Porter Stansberry one time, he said, you'll know something's going to happen when they deny that it's about to happen. Like that's how you know they're about to tip their hand.
Right.
When they absolutely vehemently deny, we're not going to print any more money.
Right.
You know that they're, you know, a month or so away from printing money.
Right.
So that kind of stuff. I don't think that's always true, but it certainly gets people's attention.
Yeah.
Right. Cause why would you be saying it if it's not true?
Right. Right.
Like, why would you even bring up that he's not an alien?
Yeah, what's the need? Exactly. Yeah.
Right. If it's actually true that he's not an alien, I wasn't thinking he was an alien, but now that you mentioned that he's not, now like, why did you bring that up?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, your kids, if they're like, no, I didn't go to the liquor store while I was out.
Right.
And you didn't ask. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, I wasn't even thinking about that, but now that you mention it,
right.
You know, that kind of stuff. So, the very fact that you mentioned something that would not normally be mentioned,
right.
I think is kind of the point of that third thing.
Yeah. It's like saying, Sean, you're not a drug dealer, you know, like, right. Wait a minute. Why would I even say that? That's weird. Then it makes me want to say, okay, wait a minute, Sean.
Yeah.
What have you been doing? Right.
Yeah, exactly. Like
why would you say that if there's not the slightest bit of validity to that, that makes me intrigued. Like, okay, wait a minute. Just, Sean, you got a meth lab somewhere? Or?
Yeah. So, you know, the way that shows up in some of these, you know, the pandemic is either side can use that tactic.
Absolutely.
To get you to go look at something that they want you to, it's almost like misdirection.
Yeah.
Right.
It is.
So they get you to dive into a certain thing. Like, right. You know, masks are not effective. Mm-hmm. Well, I just assumed they were effective, but now you're telling me they're not. Right. So maybe they're not, maybe they are. But now I got to go investigate.
Yeah.
And now you can create this polarization, right. Which is what we're seeing in the US. I've got a couple friends on Facebook that are in Canada and mm-hmm. they go back and forth. And, one of the girls that works at the agency where I'm at, she's in Ukraine. So mm-hmm. I've got and people in UK. What's interesting is that the US seems to be the most polarized, like like there's more coverage here than anywhere else in the world.
Right.
So there's more right and wrong. There's more left and right than anywhere else. And it is an election year. So that's, you know, that's right. a big part of what's going on. Like up in Canada, like 10% of the people apparently are wearing masks right now. And there's, you know, there's an ordinance, but nobody's paying attention to it.
Right.
Here it's like Hatfields and McCoys, you know, masks and no masks. Like,
there's no, it doesn't seem like there's a lot in between, really.
There's no in between, you know? So, and you can look at my Facebook post and see which side I'm on. It's pretty clear. But so, yeah, what do you have another clip there? Do you want to say more about
that? So I want to follow up and what I'm going to play to follow up. So think about in terms of, phraseology and using, you know, we've had, Michelle Mazur.
Mazur, like laser.
She's been on the show before. She talked about her three words. She's got a book, the Three Word Rebellion. Mm-hmm. So using those memorable phrases, I want you to be thinking about that when I play the next clip, because it's using those chunk phrases that are easy for us to remember. So just be thinking about that here. And I'm gonna. All right, here we go.
Do you have to reload the?
Well, it's like. It's circling. Here we go.
Manipulating and tricking the mind is a professional business. And we've been brainwashed, and the brainwashing has been very subtle. We've all been quietly hypnotized and indoctrinated to accept the new mass hysteria generated by governments everywhere. Many people now enjoy the lockdown, and they don't want it to end. It enables them to avoid responsibility for their own lives. Do you remember who said, open quotes, through clever and constant application of propaganda, people can be made to see paradise as hell and also the other way round, to consider the most wretched life as paradise? Well, it was Adolf Hitler, who was a master at mass manipulation and the use of subliminal techniques, and it was Hitler who also commented that it was a good fortune for governments that the mass of people do not think. The Nazis were very good at controlling people's minds. Goebbels once said that if you repeat a lie often enough, then people will believe it. He also pointed out that if you want to control a population and you have to deal with an opposition, then you should accuse the other side of the sin or the trickery which you yourself are using. So governments everywhere have been accusing those who are telling the truth of spreading fake news. Anyone who doesn't toe the party line is monstered and dismissed as a dangerous conspiracy theorist, though the big conspiracies have actually all been coming from governments. Countries around the world have been promoting slogans to persuade their citizens to behave as required. In China, there was a slogan which said, "If you love your parents, lock them up." In Taiwan, people were told to visit each other is to kill each other. At first glance, the slogans which are heavily advertised and promoted in the UK seem harmless enough. We all recognize them. Some, such as "We're all in this together," seem fairly innocuous, though we perhaps might be forgiven for adding the rider that we're all in this together, unless we happen to work as advisors to the Prime Minister. The first trio of phrases which were promoted everywhere in the UK were "keep your distance," "wash your hands," "think of others." More recently, new phrases have been added to the repertoire: "stay home," "save lives," "protect the NHS." Mm-hmm. The rhythm and pattern used.
We'll stop there, but
yeah. So
three phrases.
There's a lot of stuff there, interesting, but yeah, the end, what he ended with there about the three phrases, like you said, we had, Dr. Michelle Lazer on, and she talked about the three-word rebellion. Mm-hmm. Flatten the curve was a great three-word rebellion. We talked about that, I think, the second time she was on, because it was just, she was up in Seattle and things were just happening. Mm-hmm. You know, the cool thing about these phrases is they sound very helpful. They sound reasonable. Wash your hands. Obviously that is reasonable. But it starts to get you in this acceptance of what the authority is saying, right? And if you've ever watched, like, I don't know, some old Chuck Norris movies where he's a prisoner of war or anything like that, and they pull people into the room, right? Like that's what you do with prisoners of war to get them to turn, is you start out with very subtle, easy asks.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right. And then you see nothing really happens. Nobody gets hurt. you're like, oh, okay. So I guess it is okay to do this.
Breaks down. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And they just kind of slowly mm-hmm. intensify the request, but because it's happened over time, you don't notice it as much
sure.
as if it had been right off the bat. You know, you're asked to, like, if we had started this whole thing with, close your business or, you know, something like that, yeah. as opposed to flatten the curve or wash your hands, that'd be a very different
yeah.
thing than,
shut businesses down.
Yeah. Shut business down, except on, you know, yeah. file for unemployment. Like, those probably would not be the best ways to start out. No. Right. No. So yeah, I mean, and I know there's some bias in this audio that we're playing. We're well aware of that. But if you can listen without that bias being mm-hmm. triggered, you can see throughout history. It's not just this. Like, throughout history, you can see where these types of phrases are used. I'm always amazed at just how good the government is at coming up with these acronyms and phrases. Sure. Like, the acronyms they come up for laws that they pass and bills that they pass are absolutely amazing. Like, mm-hmm. it makes me jealous as a copywriter
yeah.
that they can come up with the phrases and the Affordable Care Act, you know.
Yeah,
sounds like it's
Affordable Care Act. Right. And then even for this recent round of bailouts or, you know, Corona relief, mm-hmm. they called it the CARES Act.
Yeah.
Well, who's going to, you know, you
can't argue with the CARES Act. You can't
argue with the CARES Act. I mean, who wants to argue with the CARES Act, right?
I mean, yeah. And you're not going to look into it, right? Because, I mean, it's a CARES Act. I sure. mean, can't be anything bad in that.
Right.
You know, and both sides do it. Like, believe me. I
absolutely.
Mean, like, yeah. Both sides do it. We're not saying that that's not the case. Yeah. You know, it's been happening as long as they've been passing bills. They just the way they are. But yeah, so he talks specifically though about having these kind of these 3 and 4 word phrases in groups of three.
Yeah.
And I'd say if you can find, I guess if we put a link on the show page to the yeah. notes, mm-hmm. it's kind of fun to just go read all the comments.
It is.
It really is. Like there's one thread in the comments, where people are coming up with their own triplet phrases. Mm-hmm. And it's just like all these, you know, on both sides, you know, because it's on YouTube. So both mm-hmm. sides are giving their 3 word phrases. And it's really interesting to watch. Like you can see how if you got a group of people together in a room, you could come up with these phrases pretty quick.
Sure.
Because the mob just, you know, just kind of perpetuates itself.
Well, what's the one that he mentioned, we're in this together, which is really just grinded on me, you know, ever yeah. since I first heard that, because we're not all, I mean, if you think about the phraseology, if you really delve into that, you know, we're not all in this together. I mean, we're a big country and we're separated by many states and many different demographics, and you know, so I mean, to use a phrase like that is, but I understand why they're doing it. Obviously, they want to feel like we're all included in this together, in this fight, you know. Yeah. So that's you know, and a lot of this, you know, to be fair, a lot of this was used during wartime propaganda. You know, you talk about, like, you know, during the World War II, you know, obviously governments want people to rally against the common enemy. And yeah. whether it's not whether it's right or wrong, it's whether it's the fact, you know, that's what they're deemed to do, is to use persuasion and to get people to rally around a common cause. I mean, you think about the first and second Gulf Wars that we had, obviously those were mm-hmm. common causes. We had phrases we used, we had taglines for all of this stuff. You know, if you really do your research and really study all of the history of war and the history of our country, you know, that's just part of it. We, you know, you want your countrymen, you want your people to rally around something, against the common evil, whatever that is.
Well, and then let's take a step back and just be a little bit, you know, less conspiracy
yeah.
minded and sure. just say, okay, just from a pure communication, mm-hmm. you know, standpoint, having catchy phrases works.
Yeah, of course it does.
You know, so social distancing as a phrase is easier to remember, and kind of the concept and everything. Everybody's on the same page. They're all talking mm-hmm. about the same thing.
Right.
As opposed to, well, don't get too close to people.
Right.
First of all, that sounds kind of negative, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't want to do that. It needs to sound positive. So you kind of come up with this social distance, like it's kind of nebulous. It's not necessarily negative, mm-hmm. Although it has become, you know, for one side. But opposed to like, don't get near somebody.
Yeah.
Like that, that sounds very confrontational and, mm-hmm. and that would not have been accepted as easily. Mm-hmm. Social distancing mm-hmm. sounds like a safe,
sure.
reasonable right. request, right? Sounds like a safe, reasonable practice. Mm-hmm. And that's how propaganda works. It always sounds safe and reasonable. And I can hear people like screaming in my headphones right now, like it is safe and reasonable. Right.
That's right.
And that's why it's effective, because there's a certain portion of the population, because we're dealing with a mass crowd.
Right.
That is immediately going to adopt it mm-hmm. because it is safe and reasonable under most circumstances. But the fact is, it's still being used as a persuasion tool. And if you don't mm-hmm. see that, then you're more susceptible to when they increase and ask for more and more and more,
sure.
you're going to be more susceptible to that when it's no longer reasonable.
Right.
And that's kind of the, I think that's what we're saying, what this video is saying that we're listening to and what some of the arguments are.
Stay home, stay safe.
Yeah.
Sounds reasonable, right? You know, if you stay home, you're keeping others, including yourself, safe. You're not at mm-hmm. risk. I mean, very clever to do that. Stay home, stay safe. And you saw even in social media, from a social media standpoint on Facebook, people putting up the, back in March and April, putting up the, you know, the profiles with the banners, stay home, stay safe.
Yeah. One thing he alluded to is like the clapping. He mentioned it, but he didn't go into it. Like, so the, you know, clapping for the workers that are on the front lines mm-hmm. or even that, like on the front lines.
Yeah.
Like that phrase is engineered to put a special group of people and call attention to a special group of people mm-hmm. as opposed to, because I mean, let's face it. Like if it's as bad as everybody says it is, then everybody is on the front lines.
Sure.
He's like, no, medical people, they're more on the front lines. Well, no, if you own a restaurant or you're a grocery store owner, like a clerk, like you're all on the front lines, right? And it becomes this kind of mantra and all this kind of stuff. But one thing he talked about was the clapping. And he makes a great point. Like, that was not engineered in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But what authorities will do when they want to, they will take advantage of those trends very quickly. Like, and that's what he said. He's like, the clapping may not have started as a political move or as a propaganda move, but it was quickly attached by the media and by, you know, whatever to promote that and mm-hmm. to spread that idea.
Sure.
For whatever reason, you know, you want to spread it or use it.
Yeah.
And again, it's happening on both sides. So it's not just one side, you know, each side has its own, you know, phrases and causes and things that it believes and like that. And you have to figure out, you know, pick a side or, you know, try to pick the middle ground, which is very, very difficult to do.
Yeah.
Cause
we're
like
all being primed. I mean, we're framed one side or the other. And that's what's difficult is that you have to look beyond the framing and it's very difficult in a very polarized time that we live in to kind of step outside and say, okay, where's the real truth? Because quite frankly, we're inundated with so much information and so many different scientific, so many facts and so much scientific data that it's different all the time. And so, you know, from a marketing standpoint, you know, you always, you know, that old phrase, Sean, when I have too many choices to make, most people end up doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And so they don't know what to believe. So they don't know which way to go. So you almost kind of by default end up falling into one of two categories, right? Because you don't know, you don't know how to decipher so much. There's so much information out there. So by default, you end up walking into the side or kind of stepping into the side that you currently are most comfortable to be affiliated with. You know, when there's
I would actually take it even further. I would say that you kind of get tired and you just end up kind of doing what the majority is doing.
Sure.
And then that majority grows. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, like that's kind of the accepted way things are. And you get, you know, the phrase I hate the most of all phrases from this whole thing. And it's not a new phrase. It's just it happens after every crisis.
Yeah.
Is new normal.
Oh gosh. Yes. Yeah.
You know, so there's now this new normal.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, well, I guess it's this resignation that, oh, well, I guess this is just the way it is.
Right. And we should just accept that, you know, just swallow that hook, line and sinker. But
yeah. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes that's, you know, you want to fight against that. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you do need to fight back.
Sure.
And that's something that every individual, you know, every family has to decide for themselves. Mm-hmm. But the point of this episode really is to like,
just understand,
slow down and know that this is happening on both sides.
Yes.
And another thing he said in there is like, if you're on the one side, the way that you want to point out the tactics you're using that the other side is using them before they do. Right. Yeah. It kind of goes back to the old, we've talked about the old Schlitz beer ads, like the first person to talk about a specific thing kind of owns that idea. So if you can point out that the other side is using these tactics before they pointed out that you're using them,
right,
then you kind of have the upper hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, love him or hate him, you've seen Trump has been using these tactics for years. Mm-hmm. Before he was president, before he was campaigning for president. Like that's how he did negotiations. Like he understood all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's why he's negotiated some of the deals he's done. So, but now you see, mayors in small towns using it. You see, you know, governors starting to catch on. And I think some of what we could have we'll have to touch on this on another episode, mm-hmm. but the Lucifer effect. I don't know if you've seen that book.
Oh yeah.
About the Stanford experiment of the jailers and the prisoners and mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody this week and I can't remember who it was now. It may have been Ben actually, but anyway, it was, you know, this idea that there was a study. It was going to be a 2-week study. Half the people were prisoners. Half the people were guards at, I think it was Stanford University, and it was a psychology experiment. Mm-hmm. And the guards very quickly started abusing, like seriously abusing the prisoners. And it got so out of control that the 2-week experiment was halted at 6 days.
Wow.
And there's a whole book about it called The Lucifer Effect. And I think some of what's going on from a psychology and persuasion point of view is that for the first time with these kind of like sweeping mandates is mayors and governors have seen power that they've never seen before.
Sure.
Right. And now it's like, oh, I can just close stuff down. That's kind of cool. It's like a kid with a new toy. Like, it's just like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah.
Even if it started out with the best of intentions, now there's just something in our brains that when we get control and we get power, it typically, you know, what's the old saying? Power corrupts and Lord absolute Acton. Power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah. Straight from Lord Acton.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of absolute power handed out, mm-hmm. You know, over the last 5 months, 3 months, whatever it has been. So just be aware. We probably lost half our listeners, so we're down to two again.
But, you know, we want to be fair. Like we said, we want you to think. We don't want you to automatically just say, you know, what we're saying is right, but be thinking about this. You know, whenever you hear phraseology, whenever you hear a new phrase or a new tagline that's used in the politics of COVID-19 and pandemics and coronavirus, start thinking, you know, start thinking about this stuff. And we're going to actually, we'll post a link to this or we'll actually post this video because we're not going to go through the whole thing, but we'll post a video on this particular episode. And I would encourage people to go through it and try to, you know, limit your bias, you know, kind of step outside, but understand that both sides have used this throughout. This is just part of propaganda that's being used on you to get people to understand or buy into an idea. And
I would add that you actually can't create a movement without this stuff.
Right. Right.
Like, I don't care how noble the movement is. Mm-hmm. You got to use these tactics to get the mass and the groundswell that you need to actually make it a movement.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about that in some of the other books we've talked about with, you know, creating cults or creating followings and all that kind of stuff, you know, developing your own language, developing catchphrases, creating a common enemy, like all these things, you know, are being used all the time around us. We just have a really like obvious kind of lab going on around us on both sides on multiple issues. I mean, we've got COVID, we've got race war, we've got like, it's all around us right now.
Yeah.
So like if you're into persuasion, like it's actually a pretty cool time to be alive because you can actually see it happening on a global perspective, unlike ever before.
Yeah. And one thing that comes to mind, you know, you think about, cause I try to like, okay, let's think about how another side, cause we've been talking about, okay, governments, which have been, you know, against or kind of leaning towards this, but you think about, I think about the movie that, about Dick Cheney, it was kind of a parody. It came out, I guess, a couple of years ago with Christian Bale. And I cannot, it escapes me off the top of my head. But, you know, it talks about, you know, them using words, obviously, you know, during that time, during the Gulf War, you know, weapons of mass destruction. Man, that weapons mass destruction. I can get on board. They've got weapons of mass destruction. Yeah. So, I mean, that's easy to remember, right?
How could you not want to stand up for that, right?
Exactly.
Like, nobody wants weapons of mass destruction laying around. I don't care politically who you are.
Yeah, that sounds really scary.
Yeah, that sounds like something you probably ought to get rid of.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And it worked.
Yeah.
Like, certainly, you know, it most worked.
People are on board, So
yeah, both sides use it, you know, been using it for social policies, war policies, you know, corporations use them.
Yeah.
Like everybody uses them. You know, and you know what? If you want to build your own movement, you're probably going to have to use them.
Yeah.
The only question is, how ethical are you going to be using these same ideas?
Sure.
Right. And that's where somebody like Dr. Michelle with her three-word rebellion, where it's used in a very positive, empowering way. I mean, even my shirt, right? It's a three-word rebellion phrase, right? Rise up champion. Like that's just something where I'm calling people out to rise up and be who they were created to be. Like it's
speaking of three word rebellion. I got to mention, touching back into politics. So Biden, their campaign released their three word rebellion, which is, let's see, I'm trying to remember cause it's three B's. It's build back better, right? Build back better is their new campaign slogan.
That's better than I'm with Hillary, for sure.
Build back better. Is that persuasive? I don't know. I just kind of have from a standpoint of memorability, you know, I guess a little bit build back, but I don't like the word back. Back is kind of a negative. Don't you think back is a negative word? It's like, feels like going back.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, the alliteration works. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got a nice little rhythm. That's an interesting one. I could definitely see how it could work. especially to that base. I can mm-hmm. see how that works, because they do want to go. I think a lot of them want to go back to Obama or right. Clinton or right. whatever.
Right.
Right. So I could see in that case, back is better for them.
Sure.
And then build is more future focused, which is good. Like right. build is great. Better is great.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. The back is a little.
Back's like going in reverse, and, you know, and whatever you think, maybe in reference to Trump, if you think that, you know, he's messed things up. So you're building back to where it used, like you said, prior to yeah. Trump.
Right.
Know, and that seems to be the message they're trying to get across. But I just think the word back, I think they probably could have used probably a better word. Than back, because I don't think most people like the word back. It feels like you're going backwards.
Right. Yeah. Typically, you want to move forward. The most right. successful campaign slogans,
exactly.
you know, and presidential slogans have always been future focused mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it almost feels a little too clever too.
Yeah.
I think that's
yeah, the BBBs. Like
it's a little,
yeah.
Yeah. It's a little too alliterated.
Like, sure.
I know when I edit people's copy, one thing I look for is this clear or is it clever? Mm-hmm. And clear is much more important than clever. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, it gets too clever and some of the clarity gets lost, which is what's happening for you
yeah.
on that slogan.
Yeah.
But I could definitely see how, to his base that would make a lot of sense. Of course, you know, most presidential elections, you know, they kind of, well, it could go either way. Some people say if you can just get the base riled up enough to get out and vote, that takes care of it. Some people say you gotta sway the middle.
Sure.
One way or the other. I'm not sure which is correct, probably a little of both. So yeah, does Build Back Better sway the middle
sure.
vote?
Yeah.
That would be the question for sure.
Okay, let's try another one.
Okay.
Let's try this one. How does this sound? This one's been used this week. I heard it. Jobs, not mobs. That's pretty yeah. creative.
So, yeah. I mean, it rhymes. So that's always good. We've talked about rhyming before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah. Same thing. It's going to appeal to one base, but not mm-hmm. the other.
Right.
Because mobs is going to be counter. Mm-hmm. to, you know, that's going to be insulting mm-hmm. to one side, to the
Absolutely.
Left.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you're right. alienating one particular demographic. Well, let's say one area that votes yeah, a certain way. Yeah, absolutely.
One side of the aisle for sure. Yeah. Right. Cause you're calling the protesters,
you're calling them mobs.
All that. Yeah. You're kind of putting everybody in the mobs category. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So even people that are honestly protesting, because I think protest is good. Like I'm kind of happy that there's been more protests on both sides mm-hmm. recently. Like I think as Americans, we kind of lost our, right. our protesting, you know? So I think it's kind of good that it's come back. I don't agree with the rioting, but that's me, you know? So
if rioting, if that has made you feel, you know, if you have a level of fear against what you've seen mm-hmm. and you associate that with mobs, and then mm-hmm. you use a comparison or a contrast. Contrast yeah. is very persuasive, right?
Yep.
So when you're contrasting two things and you use that to with the sounding very similar, mobs or jobs, not mobs.
Right.
There's a clear contrast right there.
Like, yeah, and it forces you to pick a side.
Right. Kind of interesting. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah,
and we'll see more of these phrases come out, yeah. you know, over the next 5 months mm-hmm. until election.
Right.
So yeah, but it's just amazing to watch just how politicians in general, both sides, just how quickly and how good
sure.
their slogans typically are. I mean, it's amazing how fast they pump them out. And like mm-hmm. we said, the names of bills, the names of, any types of, I mean, a lot of stuff and even the, you know, some of the protests, I mean, like, you know, they come out, the different names that come out, you know, Black Lives Matters. That's yeah. a great slogan.
Right.
Obviously it infuriates some people, but the fact is like, it's yeah. super memorable.
It was very memorable. Yeah.
And it makes a point whether you agree with it or not. Like mm-hmm. it's in the common vocabulary now.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do. Yeah. Like to create a phrase that sticks into and becomes just a part of everyday language is not easy to do.
No.
So the fact that there's been so many of those lately is like I said, it's we're just living in like a little lab of persuasion right now.
Exactly.
Unlike we've seen in a long time.
Sure. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. As always, you can find us over at persuasionbythepint.com. You can find us on all of your podcast platforms. Just look us up if you're new to the show. As Sean mentioned earlier, we do have a Facebook group. You can find us over at facebook.com/groups/persuasionbythepint. And feel free to join the group. It's been fun.
Also our sponsor.
All right, so this episode is brought to you by our friends over at Craft Beer Club. You can find them, by visiting persuasionbythepint.com/craft beer. Take a look at their, I mean, you can sign up for their monthly membership. You can buy kind of a one-off. They're great gifts. They buy from, or they select from some of the best craft breweries across the U.S., put together kind of an assortment for you. And, you know, according to what your preferences are. So if you don't like IPAs, don't worry about it. You're not going to get IPAs. You know, you get to kind of sign up and put what your preference is, and you're going to get those every month. And it's a good deal. They're great gifts to give out to customers, clients, and also just if you like beer in general. You don't want to go to the grocery store. If you don't want to go
Kroger,
there, if you don't want to wear a mask. This is the place to do. You got your beer taken care of right there. So,
absolutely.
All right, guys, we enjoyed it. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
See you.